times we are. And so I'm just going to try to help us to think more biblically tonight and conclude this message, pull it together on the topic of hope maketh not ashamed. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer, and then we'll develop this a little bit more. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we want to learn to trust you, to do that which is right. And sometimes when we're in trials, it's almost as if we don't trust you. We don't by faith just follow you. We try to get out of the trial as quickly as we can. That's our human flesh. And sometimes our thinking is wrong. And we don't allow you to have the time, or we fight against the trial. And while you're intending it to use it to make us like your son, we fight against it. Myself included. Father, I just pray you'd help us to understand a little bit tonight. Paul said to the church of Rome, knowing something. We have to know something. And so I pray that through this message, we will know a little bit more what you are trying to do in our lives through the trials that you allow us to sovereignly go through. You did not sovereignly direct the trials that Job went through, but you allowed it. And so no matter what trials we're in, you have either directed it or at least allowed it. And so you're going to try to work them together, or you will work them together for good, as long as we do not limit the Holy One of Israel by fighting against it. Israel did that and really limited the way in which you could accomplish your perfect will in their lives. So I pray that tonight we would understand this regarding trials, and then further regarding your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We talked about the disciples' trials this morning, and especially two different trips that they had on the Sea of Galilee. They were toiling and troubled in the one. The other, again, they lacked faith, and they were questioning whether or not the Lord really cared for them. We can go through those same situations in our trials. Again, I don't expect us necessarily to be out in the midst of a sea and toiling and troubling that way. But sometimes we are very troubled by the things that God allows to come into our lives. And so here in Romans chapter 5, the first two verses talk about we have peace because we're now in a relationship with the Lord. We have access to the Father. It's for more grace wherein we stand. And also, not only that, but we have hope in the glory of God. Then he makes a shift, and I want you to see the shift again. Verse number 3, and not only so. Paul says we don't only rejoice when everything is great and grand humanly in our lives, but we also glory in tribulations. Not only so, but also glory in tribulations, knowing some things. Now, I want you to understand the word for tribulation. I didn't talk about that at all this morning. But the word for tribulation there means to be under pressure. It means to be afflicted. It has the idea of being under distress or stressed about something. So he's talking about some of the natural things that come into our lives when we are under pressure. He says, I'm rejoicing when I'm under pressure. I'm rejoicing when I get those places, times of affliction. I'm still rejoicing even though I'm distressed by the things going on in my life. Knowing something. Knowing that God is accomplishing something very specific in my life. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, the ability to endure. Patience worketh experience, meaning coming up to the approval that we should be having toward God. And experience worketh hope, confident expectation of God working in our lives. And hope maketh not ashamed. And if we would allow God to use that trial, sovereignly directed trial in our lives, he is intending to make us more like Christ. I talked about in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Even Christ, even the Son, learned obedience through suffering. And so he was perfected, humanly perfected through the trials. He grew in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, point number 1 to my message was this. Hope maketh not ashamed when you know God is working all things together for good in your life. So let's turn to chapter 8, and then I want us to go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8, let's just revisit this really quickly. Again, it begins, verse number 28, and we know. So it's working on knowledge. Dear Christian, if you're really struggling to understand how God works in trials, you need to keep getting to know God. You need to keep reading His Word. You need to keep studying. Look at the life of David. Look how God used trials in David's life. I've really seen it over the last couple of weeks in my personal time with the Lord, how David began to grow and change more in the time of trial than he ever did before. Again, we have this false idea sometimes in our mind, if I didn't have any trials, I'd be a lot more like Christ. I think the exact opposite is true. I think we need the trials to make us more like Christ, and I think that's the emphasis of the Scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Well, what's His purpose? Verse number 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Here's His purpose. To conform you to the image of His Son. And so again, He is using these trials to conform you to the image of His Son. Now with that in mind, turn with me in your Bibles over to the book of 2 Corinthians into the 4th chapter. I'm only going to take you to one portion of Scripture, but there are several that I could take you to at this point in time. Paul talked to this to the church of Philippi in the first chapter. They were kind of concerned because of the trials he was going through. He says, don't be concerned about the trials I'm going through. I've been able to share the gospel with more people than I would have been able to before. He says, I'm able to witness about him in the palace and in other places, in the prison. Why was that? Because he was in trials. He says, don't mourn for me that I'm going through trials. This has been a great experience. I'm able to share the gospel with others. Look here what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, speaking about the human body, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He says, when God works in our lives, we have this treasure that God then, again, His grace is sufficient, and He gives us the power to become what we ought to become. We are, look at what he says in verses 8 and 9 especially. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Remember, Paul says, I glory in tribulations. What is he saying? I'm glorying being under pressure. I glory in being afflicted. I glory in being distressed. Here again, he's paying tribute or testimony to that. He says, we're in trouble on every side, but we're not distressed. He says, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. And how many times do we humanly kind of lose it mentally in the midst of trials? And we start almost talking back to the Lord. We start questioning the Lord. We start questioning His love for us. We start questioning His wisdom in our lives. And Paul says, we're not doing that. Yeah, we're going through deep troubles, but we're not distressed. We're not in despair. We're not forsaken. We're not destroyed. And you have to recognize, dear friend, that God is using these trials as need be. You're going to be in heaviness. But it's all to bring you to the point that hope maketh not ashamed. God wants to make us to be like His Son and will no longer be ashamed because we become more like Christ. Look what he says yet in verse number 10 before we get back to our text and to the second point. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Paul says, you know what? We are physically being beaten down almost to the point of death. But the reason God is allowing us to go through that is so that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Folks, Christ's light really shines in our life when we turn our light out. When we realize it's not about us, it's about Him. And so at that point, when we are broken and we just yield and say, okay, like Christ, not my will, but thine be done. Christ was even exceedingly sorrowful. Again, that human side was shown. That wasn't the God side of Christ being revealed in that moment. That was the human side of Christ being revealed. And He was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. But that human side finally broke, and He says, not my will, but thine be done. And the same thing that we have to do as Christians. Paul says, you know what? We went through that, always bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the light, really, Jesus Christ can't live in you until you're willing to die for Him and yield yourself for Him. So hope maketh not ashamed when you know God is working all things together for good in your life. Well, let's turn back now to Romans chapter 5, and I want to get to the second point of the message. You hear in basketball sometimes they'll say, and one. What do they mean by that? Well, they mean a guy was fouled, but he was able to make the shot anyway. And now he gets a free throw, meaning there's a benefit. You can score an extra point. Sometimes it's a two-point basket and you have the opportunity to make 3 points. Other times there are players that are great in drawing a foul on a three-point shot, make the shot, and now they get another foul shot, so they got an opportunity to make 4 points. The most points that you can make in a basketball play. Well, in a sense, I kind of look at this as an end one. We have the benefit of going through trials and knowing that God's working things together for good, but there's something else that comes out in this. There's an added benefit, and I want us to notice here in verse number 5. And he says, and hope maketh not ashamed because, that's a key word. Please, as you're reading the Word of God, notice sometimes those words that are very common, but are there on purpose. He says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The word shed abroad means poured out to overflowing. I think there are two areas in our lives, and I want to talk about the first tonight, and the second, the week after we get back on vacation on a Sunday morning. I think there are two areas in our lives where we begin to question if God really loves us. The first is during trials. The second is when we sin. And I think there are times we have to really understand the love of God. Boy, can we ever understand it? I don't think we can. But sometimes we question in the midst of trials whether or not God really loves us. Wow, we kind of equate this. We kind of think in our mind, well, if God really loved us, then we wouldn't have any trials. Isn't that kind of humanly how we equate it? If God really loved me, I wouldn't have this trial. The reality is, because God loves you, He is taking you through this trial. Why? Because He wants to make you more like Jesus Christ. Trials aren't the absence of God's love. Trials are the essence of God's love. It's the proof that He loves you. If God didn't love you, He wouldn't try to make you into the image of His Son. He'd just allow you to be who you are. But He knows not only does He get glory in you becoming like Christ, He knows you get more peace and joy out of life becoming more like Christ. And so He says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so he says, I'm allowing you to go through the trial, and it's going to work out for good. It's going to achieve my purpose, which is making you into the image of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, I'm going to reassure you that I love you. And again, I think sometimes when we go through trials, we begin to question whether or not he really loves us. I want you to go back now to Romans chapter 8. These two chapters work really well together. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to go to verse 35. Verse 35 down to verse number 39, he's actually going to mention love three times. One of the times I'm not going to look at in tonight's message is found in verse number 37. At the very end of verse number 7, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm not going to dwell on that verse. But I want you to notice who, and the who here can also be translated what. In this list, there are the who's, but there is the what. There are the what's as well. Who shall be able to separate us, shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, just by way of interest, I want you to drop down to verse number 39, where it says, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. It says in verse number 35, though, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, notice how the list begins. Shall, what's the first one? Tribulation. Being under pressure. Being afflicted. Again, being under distress. See, it isn't that when we're in tribulation, he doesn't love us. Or it separates us from his love. The opposite is actually true. Shall tribulation, what's the next word? Or what? Or distress. Or, boy, quite a list. And what he is saying, when you go through the trials of life, it isn't because God doesn't love you. These tribulations, these distresses, the persecutions, the perils, the famine, the nakedness, the sword that he mentions, these afflictions that you go through in your life don't cause there to be a separation between you and the love of God. Again, we sometimes get this view in our mind, God must not love me, and he's punishing me by this. And I want you to know that is not true. He may be using it to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ, his Son. But if anything, the Holy Spirit is trying to echo in your heart and life this, I love you. I love you. Because when we go through these trials of life, it says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We listen to too many other voices and don't listen enough to the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And that Holy Spirit, in the midst of your trials, is trying to reassure you over and over and over again, I love you with an everlasting love. I can't fathom it. An everlasting love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I find it very interesting that Paul goes back through and says, shall tribulation, because I think that's one of the things that make us think that we've been separated from his love. Distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, the idea of being poor and destitute, peril. Again, another word for going through troubles or sore, the idea of being in conflict or battle. As it is written, look at this. For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are remember, it's the will of God being done in our lives. You see, the problem is this, dear Christian. Humanly, we want life to work out for our sake, for our will, for our joy. And he says, the reason we have gone through this is for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted, we are thought of as sheep for the slaughter. He's writing to the church at what? At Rome. And Rome was known for a wicked man named Nero and others. See, they were known for the persecution that they were going through. And what the Lord was kind of trying to reiterate again through the writer Paul was this. This is for the Lord's sake. So as we go through trials, again, we have got to yield like Christ and say, not my will, but thine be done. Look at verse number 38. I want to pick it up there and go to 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so what is the Apostle Paul trying to reiterate into their lives is this, no matter what you're going through, dear Christian, it's for His sake, and He still loves you. If we are not careful as born-again Christians, we are going to miss the truth. And what's going to happen is this. If we miss the truth of God's Word, we're going to dwell in our mind. And this is what I have found to be true. Please persecute me afterward if you think it's wrong, but I find those people who spend a lot of time alone and spend a lot of time thinking, often think in the wrong direction. And they get consumed thinking about themselves, thinking about their own trials, thinking about their own situation. And sometimes because of that, we lose biblical thinking. So what you've got to do, especially if you spend a lot of time alone, is don't allow your mind just to drift and wander and think, wow, why is this like this and why is that like that? You've got to keep anchoring your mind back to the rock and to the Word of God. And say, I don't understand it, but no matter what, I know He loves me. And nothing can separate me from that love. And I'm not going through this trial because He doesn't love me anymore. I'm going through this trial because it's for His sake. And I don't know what His purpose might be. I'm putting together a series on trials. I probably won't do it immediately after this series because this series ends up having a number of messages on trials. And after a while, the sermons are going to be trials. I don't want that to happen. But I do want us to understand God purposely uses trials in our lives, and while we're going through them, one of the things that He's trying to reiterate into your mind is that He loves you. Go back to Romans chapter 5 with me. Let's just walk through the five verses, and I'm done. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that we're Christians, we have peace with God, by whom also, there's an added blessing, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. God said that the veil was rent in twain. You have access to the Holy of Holies, even as a saved Gentile. You have access into the Holy of Holies, meaning the throne of grace. Grace and mercy. You can get all the grace and mercy you need to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us. So not only do we have peace because we're in a right relationship with God, but we have access by faith into this grace, into this help wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, not only those couple of blessings, but we glory in tribulations also. Why is that? Knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. If we keep ourselves surrendered and yielded into those trials, He is going to bring us to the place where we will not be ashamed as Christians. I think it has the idea of becoming more pure, becoming more like Christ. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Even in this passage, we see the Trinity just glowing. I love this about the book of Romans. You don't just get an idea of what God the Father is doing or God the Son. You actually have the full vision of the Trinity over and over again. And here's the Holy Spirit whispering into your ear, I love you. And He wants to do it so much that your heart becomes overflowing with the truth that He loves you. Nothing can separate you from that love. Not tribulations, not distress, not persecution, not famine, not peril, not sword. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Again, He goes on to say and reiterate us, because that love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Dear Christian, I want you to know this. Secondly, the second point of the message then is this. Hope maketh not ashamed when you know God loves you. Don't be ashamed to go through trials. Don't have the idea that God doesn't love you and that's the reason you're going through the trials you're going through. Realize this. This is for His sake. And this is to make you like His Son. Someone has said this. Trials are for God's glory and for your good. And that goodness is making you more like Jesus Christ. And so, let's yield. Say, not my will but thine be done. Even though we might be exceedingly sorrowful, He does talk about the heaviness. Again, coming to those places where you allow God to accomplish His will, and His will is to get glory through you becoming more like Jesus Christ. And recognize His love being shed abroad in your hearts. Let's bow for a word of prayer.